Welcome to Business Development, the internal podcast by Voestalpine Railway Systems. Welcome back to the Business Development Podcast. For this episode, we talk about the functional organization. I would like to welcome today's guest, who is Mr. Gernot Konrad. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie.
So as an introduction for you to our listeners, Gernot is already part of the Voestalpine family for almost 20 years. Throughout this time, he held various positions across different countries within the railway systems group and is now, since April the 1st of 2026, the COO of the Profit Center Turnout. And in this role, he is, together with his COO colleagues from the Turnout companies, driving and improving Turnout operations. And as well, he is responsible for corporate excellence within the railway systems, which includes operational excellence as well. Now that we know this episode will be about the functional organization and we are in the business development podcast, how does this belong together?
Well, the functional organization enables the companies worldwide to have more time for business development because we want to apply ready-made and working solutions within the functional areas of our organizations. And therefore, we really want to free up more time worldwide to focus on our customers, to focus on our technologies, on our developments, to make sure we're growing there faster.
And this is why we talk about the functional organization and go into more detail in this episode. First of all, to clarify the term functional organization. It is often used, but beyond having the organizational chart in mind, what does it really mean in practice and how does a functional organization work?
Well, we as Railway Systems, we are the global market leader in market share as well as in size. And within our group that has more of 8,000 employees within more than 70 locations worldwide, which is quite big, it's quite hard to really manage such a big group of companies and people. And therefore, to do this efficiently and effectively, we have different organizational dimensions that we implemented to really run our company and our group efficiently. So we have four profit centers, as we all know, Turnout, Rail, Signaling, and Fixation Systems. We have therein competence units and then as well organizational regions where like the companies are as well allocated. And then in these organizational aspects, additionally, we have globally our functional organization, which supports all the local companies within their needs.
And that is how we are organized right now, but it has not always been like that. Why did Voestalpine Railway Systems decide to transform into a functionally managed organization? Also, what challenges were we trying to solve with that organization?
Well, the functional organization is definitely the best organization form for our group because it really interlinks all relevant areas efficiently and effectively. As we are a globally producing railway systems company, we need to ensure that all parts that are needed for a system meet our defined global standards. And in this context, I'm not only talking about manufacturing, I'm really talking about all relevant areas within our group that are needed for ensuring that our system is safe, reliable, and that we can really guarantee maximum availability for our customers.
And this we can guarantee through being organized in a functional way. What would you say are the key benefits of Voestalpine Railway Systems as a functional organization?
The functional organization, I would say, supports really effective and efficient strategic alignment in all relevant areas that are connected. We ensure that the know-how of our experts is really available within the group and is really used throughout the group as well by applying minimum standards. We are making sure that the application of our process is done with the highest efficiency and, of course, quality. And therefore, we are making advantages of cost savings throughout the organization. So long story short, we are able to really implement globally defined solutions which work without reinventing the wheel again. And as said, for freeing up time for business development.
Which is very important, as we know.
Definitely.
Also, if we break the functional organization more down, as I know, we have functional areas and also expert groups. What would you say is the difference between the two?
So when we talk about the functional organization, we always mean both. We mean the functional areas as well as the expert groups. The difference between those two actually is that the functional areas always have a person in companies where the global person is in constant contact and continuously interacting with such a person. The expert groups are more supporting and can be contacted whenever necessary by the companies.
And besides having this brief explanation now in the podcast, of course, there are more details and more insights, not only on that, but about the functional organization in general. You told me about the new functional organization rulebook. What is its purpose and how should people actually use it in their daily work?
First of all, if you see the rulebook, don't be afraid. Yeah, it is just a very short booklet that simply defines all needed structures that enable us to gain advantages for our group out of the functional organization. It explains general facts that everybody understands the organization the same way, describes tools which are helping us all applying and using the organization most efficiently, and we really can then apply our processes most efficiently. And additionally, the benefit of each functional area and expert group is in there as well explained, that when I'm in my daily life really asking myself, how do I solve a certain question of a functional respective area, I know who can ask and therefore which area should I contact.
And most importantly, it's not a 1,000 pages framework, but a really compact booklet where you can find all of the relevant information that you are looking for.
Exactly. The bigger organizational handbook that we're having, the Railway Systems Organizational Handbook, still is our real organizational Bible, I would say, that really guides us through all the areas. The organizational rulebook, the functional organization rulebook, is really more a very short summary that goes into the detail on how we live this organization and how we can really drive it forward.
Also, the rulebook and also the organizational handbook, which goes into even more detail as you emphasized, these are not the only governance tools. What other instruments support the functional collaboration and what problems do they solve?
So next to the organizational handbook, we as well, of course, have the ADI matrix. We have the process landscape. And as well, out of the process landscape, we have a clear overview of all the worldwide processes and all the local process owners that are then responsible for really implementing those processes within their companies. And therefore, with those three additional tools, we really try to solve the complexity by bringing a clear focus on the processes and on the clear responsibilities of the people within the companies for those processes.
If you now had to explain the functional organization to our audience, what are the key roles in the functional organization? Who is responsible for what at a high level for now?
Well, the most complex thing about the functional organization is always that each person has a functional leader as well as a disciplinary leader. And therefore, actually, the alignment process between those two parties is the most important thing. The functional leader really gives the local functional responsible always clear tasks, clear goals, and of course, processes and standards that must be fulfilled. And the direct leader, the disciplinary leader, as said before, this person must make sure that the goals, the tasks are really fulfilled and are as well inherited in goals, in task fulfillments of this person locally.
And also this is in more detail explained in the booklet. So to go into more depth with the functional area local responsible. You did not mention that yet, but this role also exists. Why is it that critical for making the functional organization work at company level? And also, what is a functional area local responsible?
For functional areas that are worldwide applied, each company then has a local responsible that really makes sure that the processes of this functional area and the minimum standards of this functional area are really applied. And therefore, this functional local responsible is part of a global network, which is really as well working on the process together and making sure that the process is worldwide really working, and the manufacturing processes, the administration process, and all the processes that we are really applying fulfill the standards that we need, and that those processes are really most efficient, most effectively used.
And that for sure requires a lot of internal alignment. And what typically works well there? And what would you say, where are there areas where tensions arise?
I wouldn't say tensions arise. We have, sometimes we have some challenges, of course, driving those forward. We are globally set up. And so, of course, there is not always the person that I'm working with sitting next door and I'm just opening a door and going over and really talking to this person.
Easy if it worked like that.
That's true. And so, therefore, it's really the challenging part is the alignment process and really to apply standards, to give guidance, to give solutions to the companies worldwide that can be really used and bring benefit to those companies and as well then to the end product, to the customer. And therefore, of course, we have legal obligations that we need to fulfill. We have as well group obligations that we must fulfill. But all those lead to more time that's free up time for other things. And therefore, not reinventing the wheel and really understanding we're a big group, a big team worldwide that works together, that collaborates, and we help each other. And so therefore, the alignment process between those two parties is always very important.
And there is even more alignment needed as we have additional roles, namely process roles like GPO, LPO, and others. So all of these are essential, of course. We will not go into detail with these now. However, how would you explain their interaction in simple terms? Again, a lot of alignment, I suppose.
So in the process organization that we're as well having, so we're having worldwide processes, and therefore those processes as well have clearly defined roles. So as said, the functional area leader defines the processes that are needed in his or her functional area. Then each process has a global process owner. Therefore, this person defines and creates and modifies the process worldwide and gives clear standards worldwide. Then each global process has then a local person, wherever the process is applied, that is really responsible and knows all the standards that must be applied in this process and enforces as well this process. And then we have the local process experts. Those are the people as well working in the process and helping the process owners to further develop, to understand what to develop on the process to really make the process workable for our companies worldwide. So I always say the local process owners and the global process owners work on the process and the local process experts work in the process.
Additionally, as we know, every company also has its supervisory board. What exactly is their role and how does this align with the functional organization and all of the roles that you just explained?
In the past, very often, all decisions, all solutions were guided through the supervisory board. And in our functional organization, that's actually changing. So the supervisory board has a clear control and advisory function to the executive management of each company, and the functional organization provides solutions for the companies. And therefore, such solutions must be applied and shall not be questioned for each and every company.
And now coming back to an even more practical view to already start summarizing the key benefits of the functional organization again from a company perspective. How should a first opinion railway systems company experience the functional organization as a real added value, not just as additional governance?
So we have many functional areas and we have many expert groups. And therefore, these expert groups and functional areas really give guidance, give support, and bring solutions to the companies. And by using this expert and know-how hubs, I can really benefit immediately from proven solutions and proven processes that work and that, first of all, really fulfill our minimum standards, our minimum requirements that we really need on a worldwide basis. We need products that are working. We need products that are really robust. We need products that are safe. And all our processes that we're having, if it's HR, if it's legal, if it's quality, if it's engineering, we all need certain standards that we must fulfill and really drive forward. And the global organization is really able to support that, that I'm not reinventing the wheel from the start.
Not reinventing the wheel from the start already sounds like the answer to my next and final question, which is, do you have a final message for all of our listeners for what the functional organization ultimately stands for, and maybe emphasize again the single biggest benefit it brings to all of us?
For me, really, the functional organization, our expert groups that we're having worldwide, this know-how that we're worldwide having, make use of it, apply it, and therefore make really advantage of already proven and ready-use solutions for freeing up time for making business out there with our customers.
With that being said, thank you very, very much for all of these insights on how business development and the functional organization work together. And thank you very much for being part of this episode of the Business Development Podcast.
Thanks so much, Steffi.